Survival Guide.
Hydrate my body.
H2O.
Where's the H2O?
Just add water.
Oh my god, I was thinking about that show the other day, and it dawned on me that I have Disney Plus, and as a result, I can totally binge watch H2O, Just Add Water.
What a show! Huh? I loved it.
Oh, what a show.
Oh yeah, what a show.
Articulate.
Sorry, I was just so excited.
What a show. Absolutely. I was listening to, I got a special power that I'm not afraid to use. Come in my adventure. Yeah, absolute banger.
What a good, intro song.
Absolutely. Okay, I'll put my hydrating liquid down. Thank you.
H2O. Because I'm no ordinary girl.
I was thinking the other day about how they had to practice in the pool with their tails. Like, they had to get used
to... It looks hard.
Yeah, they had to get used to the weight and, like, trying to swim with your legs together and, like, relying on your
abs.
I suppose, abs.
Your core.
And your, like, shoulders.
Your
and your
ability
back
to, like, do your little body roll.
Yeah, because have you ever been in the water or had kind of, like, a near-drowning experience? And you're like, oh my god, desperate to try and get to, obviously,
well,
air.
When I was 5, I, like, very nearly drowned.
But do you remember it?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right, yes. Yeah. But you remember that feeling of, I desperately need to get to the surface.
Yes, 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 yes.
I can imagine that when they were, practicing with their new mermaid tails, they would have had to have so many support people in the pool with them.
Just
like,
in case.
Yeah, because if they couldn't hoist themselves up fast.
They probably needed to be great swimmers just in general before even getting in the tail.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe they had to have like swim training.
Yeah, and like learning how to hold your breath for a really long time underwater. Yeah.
Yeah.
Surely they had to practice that because how do you do all your beautiful mermaid shots without being in the water for so long.
Exactly. And, like, looking so calm and eyes open got me.
Eyes open? And, like, looking okay with your eyes open. Because you can keep your eyes open, like, whatever, but you look like you've been possessed.
Like a slightly crazed look in your eye. Yeah, because even if you were in a pool or the ocean, having your eyes open would hurt so bad.
Ooh, yeah, salty.
For a long time.
Apparently you get used to it, though. That's what I've heard from surfer people.
Oh, I suppose that's like anything then. That was like, oh, who was I talking to? It was about push-ups. And I was saying that, oh no, it was about... So we started yoga at Crown Law on a Friday lunch.
Oh my god, amazing. Like they come into...
Yeah, like we have this yoga instructor come in and
oh,
she...
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's super great. And I had to miss the one on Friday because we were looking at things during lunch. And so apparently it was quite hard. She had them in like a... Not like a regular plank, but your arms are straight. Like a standing plank, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
And I was saying that I personally can't do that for too long because my wrists get super, like, crazed. And I can do maybe one set and then I have to find alternative measures to.
Yeah.
Like the fisting hands on the mat.
Yeah.
Or,
fair enough. Or just going down.
Yes, I guess.
On your elbows.
Or your knees.
Mm.
But yeah, so... my point. Wait, I don't even remember what my point was. An insight into my life, I have a terrible memory.
This goes on tangent and then it's like...
Things go absolutely wayward. Like halfway through sentence, I'm like, what was I talking about?
Yeah. Just get a bit carried away.
I totally do. But it's like, this is where I rely on talking to somebody who's a good conversationalist.
Yeah,
because
to
they
just
go,
provide
oh, you
some
were...
structure.
Well, they're like, oh, you mentioned this. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
thank you.
That's what I was talking about. Ah, yes, my point.
you for keeping me on track.
Exactly, exactly. Hello.
Oh, hi there, Liv.
Oh, I don't know why. I just make such a dick of myself. And
just in general, yeah. Or...
No, Melissa! Just on the potty!
No! Ooh! Everybody, ew. You're not experiencing the real life, Liv!
I promise I'm smart!
The amount of times I have to say I promise I'm smart is worrying.
I don't... Well, okay, gives us an example then.
Well, I'm a bit clumsy.
Okay.
And, like...
Physically clumsy? Or, yes. Okay.
Yes, that. And then, like, street logic. Street smarts. I'm not great at that.
Oh, really?
And, I'm just a bit slow with getting to things. So, I can appear a bit aloof sometimes.
On the streets.
On the big, bad streets. Yeah.
I'm kind of the opposite, I think. I would say I have better street smarts than book smarts.
Book smarts, yeah. So I just have to be like, when I meet people, after a period of time, I have to be like, no, I promise.
I promise. A single tear.
We have a brain.
Speaking of a single tear, on my drive out here today, I have a playlist that's just the broken heart emoji. And I couldn't help but listen to it. And so, but
what
it's
was
like,
the one that like got you?
So it's the song Uku Tula. And it was one that we sang at the choir concert.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just this. Hold on.
I actually want to play it for us. Well, or I don't preview. Know.
I mean, I could.
Every song that you sang at the choir concert was fantastic.
Oh, thank you. We put a lot of hard work into that.
Good mahi.
So if people are interested, yeah, Uku Tula, spelled UKUTHULA, and listen to the one by the Cape Town Youth Choir. It's one of those songs where if you have your headphones on or if you have like surround sound speakers,
yeah,
let the music wash over you.
Transported.
But yeah, so Uku Tula has the same effect for me, but yeah, it's...
like Goosies.
Goosies, but it's also kind of like... It's like a lullaby. I would say the song could be used in kind of like a sad, mournful, like, kind of way. Or like a rebirth, reborn kind of way. And it was just... Ooh. I was having all these... emotions, yeah. Just listening to it.
And a single tear.
Yeah, I literally shed a single tear in the car. But I can do that when I'm by myself in the car. Like, my car journey is this is where I can be the most dramatic.
Oh yeah, 100%. Do I sing a whole musical every single verse? Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I am the star of my car show.
Absolutely. Back in high school days, I used to listen to... I had the Wicked CD. Like, I had a CD, everyone. This is back before...
Fantastic.
What are they called? Aux cords?
Yeah.
This is just after tapes, just before aux cords.
Yeah, your Wicked CD.
My Wicked soundtrack. And as soon as I got in the car... Oh, my
goodness. Yes.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, you would just absolutely go for it. You'd do all the parts,
yeah,
the harmonies. You'd harmonize with the original soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. You are the chorus. Yeah.
You are the chorus, the lead, second parts.
Yeah. The love interest.
The love interest. Parts of the orchestra.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Anyway.
Hi!
Oh, hey!
Oh, my God. Can we just say... Happy New Year!
Oh, Happy New Year!
It's 2021!
Depending on when you listen to this.
Yes, subject to you being a time traveller, it's actually still 2020 for us.
We need to do things in advance.
Yeah, we need to plan these potties in advance because I need time to get it.
The main thing is, it's the new year. It's New Year's Eve-ish week.
Yay!
Yay! 2021. It will be a better year.
I mean, you say that with such Like, you're looking, you haven't blinked since you've said that statement, so.
Like, it's a coping.
I feel the confidence.
Yeah.
The slight hint of desperation.
I am certain.
I mean, it has to be, right? Like, it has to be.
It has to be.
I don't know who I'm talking to here. It has to be.
Well, better. I mean, we started, the end of the year is getting better with Biden winning.
Mm-hmm. And Jacinda.
And Jacinda. So it's like, we've got great political, I guess, momentum going mm-hmm. in the right way. Mm-hmm. We just need, like, the rest of everything to catch up.
Yeah, the current, like, global health crisis.
Mm.
Definitely, I feel like 2021 could possibly be a year of healing. Like, that was Biden's campaign, right? Healing something.
Oh.
Like, vote. Yeah, it was kind of like how Trump's was Make America Great Again. And then Biden's like, and now we heal from that absolute shit show.
Yeah.
It was something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I feel like so much happened in 2020 that 2021 ideally will be a year to reflect on that and perhaps act upon what people, you know, the choices people made in 2020 as a result of what everything that was happening.
Yeah, learning from everything, right?
Yeah, 2021 is potentially a way for people to action those things. And I feel like we say this so much.
Like, if you're, oh, I'll do this. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's more like, if you're thinking of doing something, what's stopping you? Yeah. Go do it.
Fucking do it.
Live your best life.
Like, yes.
You don't have to do these things by yourself. Reach out to your network. People surprise you.
Yeah. In the best kinds of ways.
Yes. Like, amazing. Just go out, do the things you want to do. I'm a list person. I like to write, like, lists of things.
Tick them off.
Yes. Yeah. Like, list of things that I want to do. So I wrote a list a couple of years ago when I had discovered that I wasn't doing anything. And I thought, okay, well, what things would I be interested in doing? And get it. Where did it go?
Sorry.
Another fly. At some point we will get it.
It'll come back.
It's been tormenting us the past few weeks. The same one.
The exact same one.
Exact same. But yeah, and so I'm like really eager to see what 2021 has in store. I already know that I'm going to be thrust into this whole new environment and I'm going to meet so many new people. And I'm real pumped about that
because very exciting.
People make me happy.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, Christopher will be with me. So it'll be like a whole new year of starting our lives together. It's the first time we, like, know with some certainty that we'll be with each other for a long while.
Aww.
Which is really nice.
Like, happy for you.
Yay.
I don't even, like, how are you going to kick it off? Like, are you going to wait at the airport with, like, champagne or?
Well, I'm going to Denmark and then we're going to come back together. So we'll actually just be in quarantine together.
Oh.
But I thought about celebrating it by going to that crazy restaurant called Hiakai.
Oh, I'm really did.
Yeah. Jeez. You have to book quite far in advance. So I was
months, I'm pretty sure.
So I had a look at like dates when we would like just come out of quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few openings there. So I thought we could.
Dope.
Go out. You'll have to let me know.
That's a little out of my pricey range.
Yeah, so. she's hella expensive. But we love the whole experience that food can take you on. And yeah, we think it's really worth it.
What other food? Did you get it?
No.
That was in your hand.
I know. I think you need
It'll be back. We'll get our shot.
Such a crisp, like, clap as well. It would have been perfect. Sorry.
Do you have another, like, food journey experience that you...
Yeah, Christopher took me to a couple Michelin ones in Copenhagen, but he didn't tell me they were Michelin, so I just, like, went being like, very open-minded, and it was ridiculous. It's crazy what people can do with food, and not only food, but the pairings. So, like, he would get the wine pairing and I would get the juice pairing. And then
the juice pairing?
Yeah, like it's essentially the non-alcoholic pairing because with wine, like it's a product that's already made. And so they just find one that like matches.
Okay.
But with the juice pairing, they create like this whole beverage, especially for this dish that they've made.
Okay, that makes more sense to me.
It's like a very, we tried both, and so we get to have both.
Okay.
Yeah, and nice. we get to experiment it. And like, it's insane. You'll taste the dish on its own and you're like, whoa. And then you drink the pairing and it's like a whole new flavor.
Whoa.
And you're like, and it complements. It's
I've never done. Oh, no, that's a lie. I did a degustation on a first date once.
Ooh.
It's one of my parents' favorite stories to tell at dinner parties because it was such a shit show, really.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Okay, like, I hope this person never listens to this podcast because I would hate to paint them in a bad light.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially, this was when I was working promo and I was just, you know, I mean, I still am, so much energy, you know, when you work promo, like, you are the face of the brand to the public, and, you know, you're kind of meant to look beautiful and be super bubbly and
bring all the energy and life,
draw the crowds in, which, I am good at. So, for this particular event, I was working for Ford, the car company, and it was at this sort of big expo thing, and I was running this competition, not to win a Ford car, it was for this like accessory to go in your car. Anyway, one of the reps from Ford came down during the day just to like see how it was all going.
Yeah.
And so just, you know, once I'm like in the zone in promo, it's very hard to like
get out
of the zone. So I think I came across as this like, rah, 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 bubbly me, like, oh my god, look, so much fun. Like,
look at
me all young and free. Like,
yeah, you're like putting on more.
Yeah, it was like, and of course, you know, you're meeting like the clients, so you're totally like best foot forward type
of course.
Thing.
Yeah.
And anyway, how did it all go down? I'm pretty sure, so we were just having a yarn. He like was, I think, around like 30. I think it was 30 at the time. And I would have been like 21 or something. Yeah.
Lil.
If not 20, actually. So it was a bit of a age gap.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I think later, I think he found me on Facebook or something.
Oh.
Yeah, so I all of a sudden got this ad on Facebook and I was like, oh, it's the guy from Ford. So I accepted it. He sent me a message and was like, hey, like, it was so nice meeting you today, blah, 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 blah. I'd like to take you out for dinner sometime. And me, being a poor student in my like, first year of university, like, I'm so friggin' lonely, I'll accept your dinner invitation.
Yeah.
And he said, wear something nice. Like, that was all he kind of gave me. So he came and, So he came and picked me up. This was actually in my second year. He came and picked me up. And like a brand new Ford, because when you work for these like car companies, you get like you're able to drive the cars for the evening and, or like have them on loan or whatever. And yeah, so he came and picked me up in this brand new Ford thing, and he was like dressed in this fancy suit and blah blah blah. And I like had gone all out anyway. So yeah, he took us to the hippopotamus restaurant.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck.
I know. But funny story about the hippopotamus is. This was back when it was the Museum Hotel, not the QT.
Mm.
My parents are really, really good friends with the old owner.
Right.
So the owner of the Museum Hotel.
Yeah.
And so I had been going to the Museum Hotel and the hippopotamus restaurant since I was really small, purely because
family friends, right? Yeah.
We rocked up to the hippopotamus restaurant, yeah.
And you were like, "Hey,
I was like, oh, amazing! Like, cool, blah blah blah." But I think this guy was perhaps thinking he was gonna wine and dine this like young naive.
Of course, because like, how could a 21-year-old afford
possibly sashay her way around the hippopotamus restaurant? So we like get in there and I'm very familiar with my surroundings, and I think at one point I was like, I'll just pop to the loo, and he's like, oh, do you know where they are? And I was like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Anyway, so I'm looking at the menu, and of course, you know, everything's so ridiculously expensive. And I think I see the like vegetarian option, which was some sort of risotto thing. And that was only like $40. So I was like, okay, that's the cheapest thing on the menu. And, you know, I'm not going to be a dick here. I'm going to get the eye fillet steak. So yeah, the waiter comes over, French, and says, oh, you know, do you know what you would like to order? And I'm about to say, oh, I'll have this.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, we're going to do the 6-course degustation.
Oh.
And I'm like, ooh.
Oh.
What's that? What's that?
What's that?
Nobody ever taken me on a degustation before. And the waiter asked, like, oh, you know, okay. Any dietary requirements we should know about? And I thought to myself, no, I'm not allergic to anything. But because I'd never done degustation, I didn't think to say, oh, I don't eat these foods. I just thought it was any dietary requirements.
Yeah.
So I didn't say I didn't eat seafood.
In my mind, instantly, I was like, oh, yeah, I don't eat seafood.
Yeah, like, what didn't possess me to tell this waiter that I didn't eat seafood?
No, Liv.
So what then, like, proceeds to... So we get it with the cocktail pairing.
Yeah. Fun.
Yeah, what... super fun.
Yeah.
What proceeds to unfold is, like, every dish coming out was some sort of, you know, first it was scallops and... it was, like, oysters. And then it was scallops.
Yeah.
And then it was squid or octopus or something. And, oh, my God, like, I was just not having a bar.
Did you have to...
Well, okay, so I started drinking... Because he was driving, he only had one of the cocktail pairings. So I was drinking his cocktail
with
pairing.
No food.
Well, I was, like, kind of pushing it around on my plate. Like, just like, kind of licking the fork a little, like,
Oh, shit.
And, of course, the more cocktails I'm drinking, obviously the tipsier I'm getting and, like, kind of the more boisterous I'm getting. And I'm just like, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, dear God.
And at one point, the guy that owned the museum hotel, he came in with a party of people. And, of course, like, he spots me and I spot him and we go, oh, hello.
Yeah.
And he comes over and says hi to the guy, and I'm like, can't remember his name, but
oh my God, Liv, you did not.
I think I couldn't even tell you what his name was, actually. I think I was just like, you know, I'd known this guy like for 48 hours at that point. And of course then, you know, old mate goes back to his table and this guy was like, oh, who's that? And I was like, oh, that's so-and-so. He owns this place. And I think at that point he was like, oh my God, like, my whole plan, my whole vision for this evening has just gone down.
Just has crumbled.
The drain. Yeah. And of course, yeah, as I say, I'm just drinking all these cocktails. There was one non-seafood dish the entire night.
And you're like,
oh. And it was a series of fancy beetroots. And I fucking hate beetroot.
Oh no. Oh God, I hate beetroot too.
So this whole degustation,
it would have cost him a fortune as
an
well.
Absolute fortune. Like, I glimpsed the bill at the end of the night and I thought, hope he doesn't want to split that.
Oh my goodness.
It was insane. And yeah, I never heard from him again. That was it.
Look,
he dropped me home.
Sometimes it's a hit and sometimes it's a miss.
Yeah.
And this was just an expensive miss.
So I'm pleased that your, like, foodie experiences have all been, like...
Yeah.
You shine a light back on them and you're like, wow, what a time to be alive. And I look back and I'm like, what a shit show.
I think, like, you can't go to these experiences without having that ability to be open to try new things, even if you don't like it.
So true.
I oh, what's it called? Like tartar?
Oh, yeah.
The, like, raw beef?
Yeah.
So I had that out in one of the restaurants in Copenhagen. And, like, like, it looked like mince.
Yes.
Like, raw mince.
Ew.
And Christopher was loving it. He was like, oh, this is so good. And I was like, ew, it looks like raw mince. I can't eat mince. And so, like, I tried a bit and, like, it tasted okay, but I just couldn't get the texture or the picture out of my mind. So I was like, this is fucked. I can't do this. And yeah. He had the rest.
He ate it. Okay.
But, like, you've got to try it for you've the flavor. Yeah.
Oh, God. Ugh, yeah. I'm such a picky eater. Hey, like, this is what my family say whenever they make me tell this story is, like, experiences like that are wasted on Olivia because she just doesn't want
to
eat
But then you know not to go to those experiences, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, hey, if you're out there listening,
she's always open to new things.
I'm always open to trying, like, new Chinese takeout places. Yeah, I'm a real cheap and cheerful age. Like, I really don't ask for much.
For much. Just, like, some great Kai and that's it.
Absolutely. Give me a yarn and some, like, $10 curry over
bit of wine. Yes.
Yeah, like, over a $600, like, dinner.
Mm.
Absolutely.
I'll take the $600 dinner, thank you.
There you go. Christopher, you listening? $600 dinner.
Thank you very much.
Anyway.
Hello,
listeners.
That was a really long tangent after being like, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome to...
Here's home on a bad date.
Welcome to the Survival Guide Podcast.
The Survival Guide Podcast.
Hey, y'all.
Where we talk about extreme true survival stories.
And get this. Olivia, do you know that this is the last episode for this season?
Yeah, I totally knew. Yeah. We totally talked about it.
We totally planned this.
But did you listeners know that this is the finale of season one? And I can't, like, who would have thought we would have made it this far?
Yeah, honestly, it was this little plan in your head at the start,
mm-hmm.
and then
a twinkle in my eye,
and we were like, fuck it, let's try,
let's do it,
and then if we're bad, let's not tell anyone.
We will do nothing about putting the word out there,
but here we are.
And of course, if you're listening to this and you're new to the show, what am I trying to say here? Each like individual episode is a new story. So don't feel like you need to go back and listen to episode one to understand what's happening in episode 10. Yeah, each new episode is
a new story.
A new beginning.
Yes.
But yeah, perhaps we could do a little like reflection on our first season. What was your favorite new story to learn that I've told you about.
My favorite one was Anna's one.
Oh yeah, Anna Bargenholm.
Yeah, Anna Bargenholm, because it was just insane.
Yeah.
For anyone who hasn't listened to that episode, it's C. Yeah, episode C. C is for cold as ice or something.
Yeah.
And Anna went skiing, tripped, fell. Went into like a river, somehow didn't drown.
Yeah.
Literally froze to death.
And then
lived.
And
for more, listen.
Yeah. For more crazy stories. Episode 3C. Yes. Okay.
How about you?
Oh, that's a good one.
It can be one of your own.
No, because you've told me new ones, right?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine if I was like, it was my one.
I am the best.
No, okay, let me have a quick think here. I think
the one today could be the winner.
Really?
I saved the best for last.
Okay. Well, I'll give you an answer to this question at the end of at the end of the story.
I mean, if you say it's another episode, then that's just like a conclusion that this one sucks. But yeah, no worry.
I mean, look, I'll be your biggest fan and your biggest critic. So we'll see. We'll see how we go.
Always and forever.
Forevermore.
Should I start the story?
Well, do you want to quickly tell the listeners how you survived the week?
Oh, yes, of course. My week was actually very fine. Nothing...
Fine?
Yeah, like nothing big happened, nothing shitty happened. It was just very fine. I think...
I always heard that when people say that things are fine, things are not fine.
I mean, I am, like, actually fine. I'm just saying, like, this week was very average. Nothing really big happened.
Well, big things don't always need to happen.
Yeah,
it's little. That's true. The little things we okay. want to know about.
A little thing that happened. I'm trying to find a white button-down collared shirt for admission because it's very specific as to what you can wear, and it's very hard to find one that is reasonably priced.
Could you borrow one?
Yes, but then I'm thinking I'll probably need it for court anyway.
Ah.
So I should probably invest. But I just didn't know that shirts can cost like $200. Absolutely. Like a plain white shirt. There's nothing special. It's white and it has buttons and a collar.
Maybe you could look at it like a... Nah.
And then everyone's into linen at the moment, but the linen means that the collar isn't stiff enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you looked at designers like Karen Walker or...
That like, makes it more expensive, Liv.
Yes, but if it's an investment piece...
But also I have looked at Karen Walker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if it's an investment piece, perhaps you want to like invest in the quality and New Zealand designers.
Mm. I had a look at David Jones and there were a couple there. So.
Okay.
I think I'll just have to, like, finally take the plunge and invest.
And just do it.
But it just kind of, it shocked me how expensive these shirts can be.
Are you, like, one of those people that doesn't like to spend over $100 on items of clothing?
It, only if I, like, love it.
Okay.
Like, I do like spending money on clothes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do prefer quality over quantity. Uh-huh. But, like, I have to love it.
Okay.
Right. And so, like, this white shirt.
You're like, okay. Because you don't, like, because it's just a white shirt.
Because it's just a white shirt. Like, and it can't be somewhat fashionable. Yes. It needs to be, like, a tailored white shirt.
Okay. I see now where the like, issues were coming in.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I need to do it, but I don't want to, but I will.
Okay. I mean, I think in that, like, in this instance, just rip the band-aid, just get it, it's done.
I think that's exactly what I need to do.
Yeah, the more one dwells, the heavier the heart becomes.
That's some really great advice, and that's probably how I should survive the week.
Just get it done, girl.
By ripping off the band-aid, and I'll just go buy the white shirt.
Just buy the white shirt.
Amazing. How about you, Liv? How have you survived the week?
What has been happening this week?
It's been that long?
Yeah. Maybe it has been a really long week for me.
Oh, you did say yesterday that it was just a really long week.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, there's that shocking memory again. I was a little sick at the start of the week.
Oh, no.
So I've been trying to fight that off.
Mm.
Yeah, like, colleagues are dropping like flies. Like, it's very quiet in my section of the office because everyone's off sick.
They're like, see ya.
I think I'm just getting a bit hashtag over it. You know, I'm ready for the new. I'm ready for the new year. Like, all of those dramas that are such dramas kind of around the middle of the year, when you're like, nah, I can't possibly put up with this annoying thing till Christmas. But now that, you know, the year's almost over, It's like, do I have the momentum to be as mad about this as I
Like, I don't have the energy for this. I'm over it.
But upon that note, absolutely you can get on with the story. Since I feel bad that we've made everyone sit here for so long.
I'm sorry. Okay, shall we? Shall we begin?
Absolutely.
In 1981, having just completed his military service in the Israeli Defense Force, 21-year-old Yossi Ginzburg, the child of Holocaust survivors, set off on his own to South America to explore the Amazon rainforest. It was there, deep in an uncharted part of the Bolivian Amazon jungle, did Yossi understand how unforgiving a vast rainforest could be. What began as the adventure of a lifetime quickly became a struggle for survival. This is the story of Yossi Ginzburg, the man who was stranded in the Amazon jungle for 3 weeks alone and survived.
Anything to do with South America, anything to do with the Amazon rainforest, I'm like, yes.
Sign me up, boy.
Because I have been there and I have... Like,
so you know. Yeah.
It is huge. Like, you could live a whole lifetime and not see it all. It's incredible.
All right, Liv, then you will know. Before I get into the story, I'll just list off the sources I used. I used an article from AMI magazine, an interview of Yossi from BBC World Video, and then I predominantly used his book that Yossi Ginzburg wrote, called Lost in the Jungle. All right. So, as Yossi arrived from Colombia to Bolivia, he met up with several other people on the way in to Bolivia's capital city, La Paz. There was Marcus Stamm, a Swiss teacher, Karl Ruprechter, an Austrian geologist, and an American photographer named Kevin Gale. So when Karl told the group that he was planning on searching for gold in an uncharted region of Bolivia, the others decided to join him on the adventure. So accordingly, the team of four set off to the uncharted territory of Bolivia's northern jungles in the hopes of coming across remote indigenous tribes and the promise of a long-lost city of gold.
You're kidding. Was that actually...
Yeah, he just convinced them, like, yeah, there's going to be gold. We're going to be rich.
Oh my goodness.
And they were like, yeah, I'm up for anything. Let's go.
Like, gold, like that whole industry of finding gold is just so out the gate.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it was in the 1980s.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like maybe now he would have been like, oh, no.
Oh, look, no.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Bolivians actually warned the group of the dangers that awaited them in the jungle, but they chose to disregard the warnings.
Ugh, first mistake.
Classic. So a short flight sees them arrive at their destination, where they set off on their epic adventure. After stocking up on provisions and supplies, they headed downriver deep into the jungle. Within days... they were battling hunger and weariness.
What?
Yeah. They just...
within days, they were like, oh, I'm so tired and hungry.
They had food supplies, like beans and rice, but I don't think they wanted to, like, use it all. They wanted to ration it.
Okay.
So they were battling hunger quite a bit. Yossi said that they ate monkeys to survive, adding... he said, I would have eaten anything. I would have eaten human flesh. Yeah.
Ew! Wait, we're talking after days.
After
they
days.
Were like, I'm gonna kill this monkey because I'm so hungry, rather than eat my food.
Yep. It's weird, right?
I really don't like this party. I'm like, they all sound like a bunch of
Also, I would have eaten human flesh.
Yeah, that's, like, the fact that after a few days, that's immediately where his mind went.
I don't even know after a month. I mean, who knows, right? But I can't ever see me wanting to, I'm not wanting, but needing to eat
human flesh. Was he, like, sizing up his party? Like, who would be tastiest?
Maybe, who knows?
Let's eat the guy that brought us here first. The first to die.
So, around 2 weeks in, after doubts arose regarding the motives of their leader, Carl, and a serious foot infection renders one party member incapable of continuing, the group decided to split into two instead of just killing off Carl.
I love that it was like after 2 weeks, they began to suspect that Carl was not all he cracked up to be.
Yeah.
Carl. You can't do just it. Kill people, Carl.
Carl, what are we doing here?
Carl,
come on. So, determined not to cut his adventure short, though, Yossi and Kevin Gale, the American photographer, opted to return back to civilization.
Smart.
But by raft rather than on foot. I guess they were kind of sick of walking after 2 weeks.
Oh my god, okay, yeah.
This plan, however, turned for the worst, as the strong currents sent both Yossi and Kevin into treacherous rapids.
Wait, no, like, when you say by raft...
Like, they made a raft out of logs and shit and rope. And then they were like, yeah, we'll just float along the river until we reach civilization. Not thinking about how crazy rivers can get.
They must have been in a big rush to be like, screw it, let's just float. Let's
yeet out. Yeah. So this was horrific, as you can kind of assume, going into treacherous rapids. So both men rowed desperately as the raft was just like, swiftly being drawn down, and they were lying face down, like on their tummies, just like holding on for dear life.
So they dropped their oars, their makeshift oars.
I think they were holding the oars, kind of, and then like also holding.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they saw that they were swiftly being drawn towards a large rock. So despite their attempts to like try paddle away while they were like clumsily trying to hold on, they rammed into the rock with tremendous force. Yossi and Kevin went overboard in the river, yet hanging on the ropes of the raft. The raft wasn't moving because it was lodged into the rock and a sandbar, but water continued to rush past them. They also then noticed that a waterfall was incoming to their left, where the river cascaded downward 10 or 12 feet, which is about 3 to 4 meters.
Ew.
Yeah. So, no matter how much they tried, the raft was still stuck, and Kevin decided that the only conclusion that there was to go into the water, reach the right bank, which was like away from the waterfall, cut a vine and pull it, like send it to Yossi and like pull him to shore.
Okay, so Kevin was gonna try and save the day.
Yeah, and Kevin thought like, yeah, I'll just have to like walk across the rapids.
Gosh.
Which is like how?
Walk through the water.
Yeah, which you just can't. So Yossi didn't think the plan was good, but Kevin went into the currents anyway.
Oh, Kevin.
The currents' tremendous force pulled Kevin along. He disappeared for a moment under the water and then washed up again about 20 meters downstream.
Oh, no.
But he grabbed onto a rock, luckily.
Okay.
And from there, he made it up onto the riverbank.
Oh, so he made it.
So he made it. He kind of was like, oh no, down the river. But it,
oh, no!
But then he managed to grab onto a rock. And yeah.
Oh, Kevin.
And so just as there was like this elation and relief. Yossi felt a slight movement as he sat on the raft, because he obviously got back on the raft.
Okay, right.
And he noticed, oh no, the raft is slowly breaking free from the rock.
Okay.
Yossi yelled to Kevin that the raft was moving. Kevin yelled back to throw him his shoes, which he automatically did. He then yelled to throw Kevin the machete so he could like cut the vine for Yossi. And so Yossi did that. But the raft was almost completely free and heading towards the waterfall. Kevin hurriedly put on his shoes, which I'm like...
Kevin put Yossi's shoes on.
No, Kevin put his own shoes on. So he didn't have any shoes on the raft. And so Yossi threw him his shoes.
Oh, okay. I thought Kevin was being like, pass me your shoes. And Yossi was like, yeah, okay.
I don't think they were wearing shoes while they were on the raft. Because wet. What's the point?
Okay.
Yeah, so... Kevin was hurriedly putting on his shoes, but Yossi quickly came off the rock and edged vertically towards the waterfall.
So how far do you know how far the waterfall was from where they were? Because you mentioned that he was like 20 meters downstream by the time he got to
It didn't say, but I assume like it was like Yossi was here, Kevin was 20 meters down, and then the waterfall would have been like a little bit further on. Yeah. Okay. So Kevin still had some time.
Okay.
But not a lot.
Okay.
Like seconds.
Okay.
But Kevin just yelled to hold on to the leather straps of the raft and to not let go, because it just looked like he wouldn't get to him on time.
We fucking prioritize putting his shoes on.
Yeah. That gets me. I'm like, what? Anyway, Yossi was thrown in the air, the raging water swallowing his screams as he free fell and crashed down below. The raft was pulled under the surface of the river and darkness enveloped Yossi. He then suddenly found himself above water with the raft floating again. Yossi could see Kevin about 100 meters away, running in his direction.
So he'd gone down the waterfall.
I think he just kind of went down... Yossi went down the waterfall. Kevin was on the side bank, running towards him.
Okay.
So Yossi yelled to him that he would wait for Kevin wherever he managed to make it on shore, but Kevin couldn't hear. Yossi then quickly realized where he was. The raft was swiftly sweeping towards the treacherous Malpaso San Pedro, which apparently is quite a... strongly currented river, quite dangerous, rapid area.
Oh.
So he was like, fuck. So he went through round two of being thrown about in the strong white rapids and currents of the river.
And he's still holding on.
Yeah. Like, he's just, like,
I suppose you would be.
Yeah, like adrenaline as well.
You would just, I'm not fucking letting go. Yeah. Okay.
So with the terrible force and pressure of the water, Yossi was thrown down the river. He wasn't on top of the raft anymore. He was just being kind of thrown about in the water.
Gosh, just holding on.
Yeah. So he said he felt a pressure on his chest, his ears, his nose, his eyes. He felt like he was being suffocated. But then suddenly, and just in time, he was drawn to the surface as he gasped for air. The currents kind of ended and like softened out, and he managed to survive the currents, two rounds of currents. And he managed to survive it uninjured.
Wow, as well. That's really impressive.
Yeah, if you think about like how...
Falling off the waterfall
could
have done some major damage.
And, like rocks and stuff, yeah. So Yossi staggered out of the river. The raft and his pack were actually gone. I think he let go during the currents.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, like, he's just trying to survive, just trying to hold really. On, yeah. Yeah. And Kevin was also nowhere to be seen. So now Yossi was alone in the Amazonian jungle. He was stranded without a knife, map, or survival training. He needed to improvise not only his shelter, but forage for wild fruit or any animal he could find to survive. He was now forced to survive alone in one of the most unpredictable environments of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So for shelter, what Yossi would do was uproot any small bushes he could find. He broke up branches, tore off leaves, and would drag this all to a sheltered alcove that he could find. He would scatter the leaves on the floor and pile branches in the opening until they formed some kind of barrier. So he's kind of building himself a cave mm-hmm. of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would use like fern shrubs as like a shelter on top
mm-hmm.
if he needed to. Throughout this, frightening thoughts of what had happened to Kevin and how Yossi would survive in the jungle alone, surrounded by wild animals, would keep him awake. He would repeat a mantra out loud to himself. Man of action, man of action. He just kept speaking that to himself over and over again. He didn't know where he picked up the phrase, but he repeated it over and over. A man of action does whatever he must, isn't afraid, and doesn't worry.
Wow, that's a really good mantra to pick up. Because as they say, like, don't panic if you're in that situation.
Just like panicking. Stay practical.
Yeah.
How do I survive?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the morning, Yossi decided to look for his pack that he had lost when he went down the river. He was hungry and he couldn't find anything to eat, but he knew that the pack had some food. He traveled upriver for many hours, making sure not to slip and fall and not to break an arm or a leg on any of the rocks.
It's pretty ambitious of him to think that
his pack survived.
His pack perhaps landed somewhere and didn't just get washed down the river.
Yeah, I think he was just
kind of desperate.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So at last he actually found the raft. Surprisingly, it was all in one piece. And his pack was nearby, just kind of lodged.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So lucky.
I'm going to be honest, I was dubious that that was where the story was going.
Yeah, you just wouldn't think he would find it.
Super amazing.
But he walked for hours upriver and he found it. He fished the pack out of the river and everything was still there. He had rice and beans, the flashlight and matches, a lighter, a map. So meanwhile, walking constantly for so long after his feet were soaked and already been in the jungle for 2 weeks meant that his feet were in excruciating pain and they were on fire. So on that night when he removed his shoes, he noted that the pain was excruciating. His socks reeked and was covered with yellowish red stains. The skin was completely ripped off his feet.
Oh, yuck.
And between his toes was a mess of inflamed flesh, blood, and pus, leaving them as just chunks of exposed flesh.
Oh, yuck. I was going to say, like, wet shoes and socks. You don't want to, like, fuck around with that for too long.
And he did. He just kept...
For weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So his feet were gross. In the following days, Yossi also had to fend for himself. Every night he made a fire, he set up his mosquito netting and lay with mosquito spray, a lighter, a tin can and a spoon, just in case, to make a clatter of noise to try scare any animal that approached him.
Smart.
He was constantly anxious with an inability to fall asleep. He could only fear the wild animals that lived in the jungle. And the fact that he didn't have anything to protect himself with. He could hear animal calls, cries of birds, and buzzes of insects, and blood-curdling screeches from animals being caught by their predators. He secured the mosquito netting with rocks so that no snakes could come slithering in. Like, can we just stop and consider how scary that must be? Like, the jungle kind of comes alive at night, and you can't see a thing, and you want to go to sleep, but you can't. Because what happens if someone eats you?
I mean, absolutely. Like, that's often where the predators will...
Yeah.
...are awake, exactly. Is at nighttime.
Yeah. And so I think that was his biggest fear. Like, reading his book, he just describes a lot about his, like, fear and anxiety. Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things where, like, I have never been in a situation like that. I can't even fathom how terrifying...
Yeah, exactly.
...you would feel in any of these situations that we've spoken about. Like, it's funny you talk about rapids, because when I was in the Amazon, we did this, like, whitewater rafting thing. And I'm talking, like... It's not like something you'd find in New Zealand where it's like all very above board. Just a little, you know, it was like safe in quotation marks, but it just wasn't as established as, you know, what you'd find here. And during the like experience, I fell out in these rapids. Oh my God. Yeah. So the boat went up a rock, but I was on, like, a really big rock, but I was on the side, on the lower side, as the boat kind of went up on a diagonal, sideways, I was at the bottom, but because the water wasn't high enough on the rock, we kind of stopped there, but, like, not having that momentum, like, having that pause, I fell backwards into the water.
Because it just, like, stopped.
Yes, but then the boat came down on top of me, and it's just, like...
The most terrifying thing.
Yeah, because it was quite shallow water as well, and I was just stuck between, like, the bottom of the river and this, like, boat, like, skimming over the top of me. And I was, like, absolutely not having a bar. I really, like, just wasn't enjoying it anyway.
Yeah.
The water is super murky, like, super...
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's, like, brown water in this particular river we were in.
Yeah,
and, yeah, I just... Yeah, I'm
no bueno.
Yeah, I was a bit no bueno about it, but I did it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I fell in, and I was just so terrified that I was going to, like, break my back in the shallows, because, you know, you're meant to go into the brace position.
Yeah.
So that, and they say, like, if it's shallow water, do not try and stand up, because the pressure of the water.
Yeah.
If you got, like, locked between two rocks as you stood, the pressure of the water would, like, break your leg.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, and so I was just in the shallows, not having a bar, and I remember being so scared. Like, I was like, yelling, like, get me out, get me out, get me out, get me out. And so I can imagine. But that's, like, nothing compared to old, mate. It's nothing compared to this,
yeah.
So I can definitely sympathize with being in the Amazon River and having an absolute no bueno of a time.
Yeah. And now he's also just in the jungle. So for days on end, Yossi lived in constant anxiety, fear, and hunger. He faced attacks from wild boar, the constant threat of poisonous snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And on his sixth night alone in the jungle... A hungry jaguar.
Whoa. Those are super rare.
So, in the total darkness, he suddenly heard the snapping of branches, the stealthy thud of footprints, something coming in his direction. Fear gripped him immediately. He just told himself it was only his imagination. But the rustle of the leaves and branches on the ground was clear, and it was getting closer to him with each second. He turned his flashlight on, but couldn't see a thing. He released a sigh of relief, but he didn't let himself feel better yet. He tried to lie low and just kind of lean over himself. Like, put himself kind of on the floor and just, like, lay low.
Okay.
He ran his fingers over the ground, scrambling for anything that could be a weapon. And then suddenly he heard the rustling sounds right around him. He sat up with a jolt, gripping the spoon and tin can, and started banging the tin. It made a dull sound. He called out, "Shoo, shoo, go away," as if he were about to be set upon by a flock of chicken. But the sounds kept drawing closer. He heard the rustling become infinitely louder. Yossi clutched the flashlight, stuck his head out of the mosquito net, and turned the flashlight on. And he found himself face to face with a jaguar. It was large and covered with black spots. One of its paws was raised off the ground as if it had been about to take another step. It put its foot down without stepping forward upon Yossi turning his flashlight on. It stood about 3.5 meters away. Oh, 3.5 meters away? I would have shit myself.
It was probably curious more than anything.
At first, it just stood there, looking at him. It didn't appear particularly menacing. Its eyes were neither ferocious nor meek. It was just staring at Yossi, standing perfectly still, only its tail waved slowly back and forth. Yossi trembled and whined and screamed at the jaguar, "Go away! Get out of here! Beat it! Get away! Get out of here, you son of a bitch! Go away! I'll burn you up! Get away!" Yossi then put the flashlight in his mouth, so he had both hands free. He felt around on the ground and found the repellent spray and the lighter.
Oh my god!
He then held the lighter in his left hand and the spray in his right. Yossi was now calm. He did not scream. He did not tremble. He then pushed down on the spray button and lit the lighter. Fire spewed into an enormous blaze. Yossi could smell the scorched hair on his left hand, and fire erupted and completely blinded him. He held the blaze for a few minutes, only until the spray ran out. As his eyes adjusted to the darkness so that he could see the beam of the flashlight again, because he was just kind of blinded from the light, he saw that the jaguar was gone. It had worked. The jaguar had vanished. Nevertheless, Yossi sat inside the mosquito net, wide awake, his heart jumping wildly at every sound.
He used up the whole thing?
He used up the whole thing.
I mean, can I say, genius, being like flamethrower.
Yeah. Quick thinking.
But also, I would have imagined a few quick puff, puff, puff.
Yeah. I think he was just so scared.
Oh, no.
He was like, this will work. You know, like when you want to, controversial, potentially, but when I see spiders and I'm by myself and it's like small enough for me to deal with, I'll like panic and just like really make sure it's dead.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I rush to get a cup and
no, put it outside. I'm like, die!
Fair enough.
Because it's like this fear that just like takes over me.
Okay.
So I assume it was something like that, like a bit of panic and fear mixed together.
I can relate to that. My phobia of needles, just something takes over and you're like, rah!
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
So he still sat wide awake in fear that something else may come, or worse, that the jaguar would return. But luckily, that didn't happen. His flamethrower worked. The jaguar was gone. During the daytime, Yossi would walk along the river, knowing that if anyone were to find him, it would be by the river.
Smart.
Yeah. His hunger only dampened by any fruit he could find. He would find berry bushes and eat the berries by the handful. He would attach rocks to his fishing line and heave it over a branch and shake the branch with the line, allowing the fruit to fall to the ground, which I think is like absolute genius. So he just kind of ate fruit and kept walking along. His mission was to walk along the river until he would reach a small settlement or village, but would also rest when darkness came to make sure that he could set up camp before nighttime. His feet were also healing. There was a bit of a rash, but they were no longer pussy.
How come?
I think he just, they were dry. They like dry, he like dried it out and like made sure they... He
healed a little.
Took care of it a bit.
Yeah, so he kept walking carefully until he noticed a fallen palm tree with machete marks. He ran ahead in search and saw more machete marks on branches and tree trunks. He was elated. He finally made it to a settlement. He went further and found thatched huts, but there were no people. It appeared it had been abandoned, but Yossi had made it to a place called Kuri Playa, the settlement that Carl originally talked about, the original destination that the four men first set out to find. So they were supposed to find Kuri Playa and then around there search for the gold.
The lost city of gold. The lost
city of gold.
Oh my god, an old mate found it.
Old mate found it. He was like, yo, Carl was right. It does exist.
Maybe Carl's not so bad after all. Oh,
Carl! So here Yossi was safe. He rummaged through the various huts and found beds. At last, after days on days worrying about his life while he sought shelter in the jungle, Yossi would sleep in a bed with a roof over his head. For the first time in a long time, Yossi felt good, safe, and optimistic.
Yew!
He stayed there for a couple days and planned out his next steps. From the map, he figured that he was about 5 days from the next city called San Jose. So he remained optimistic. He thought he would only need to spend maybe 4 more nights in the jungle and then he would finally be with people around him. So he set off, and despite the rainy weather, he walked through the lush jungle in good spirits. He stopped at every chance he got when he saw fruit, like a nice small tree of tamarinds, savoring the juices. He didn't leave a single one remaining on the tamarind tree. But his optimism made him wander far too long into the jungle and away from the river. He suddenly lost all sense of direction and didn't know where the river was. But he plodded on, convinced that the path he was taking would lead him back to the river at any moment. But then 2 hours passed by and it was growing dark.
No, Yossi.
Yossi. But then, finally, he heard the familiar rush of the river. He sighed out with relief and made his way there. And when he did, he stood there gaping. There in front of him was a large footprint in the mud. The sole of the shoe that had made it was just like his own. Could it be Kevin? Was he alive? He stood there in disbelief. He rushed about, trying to figure out where Kevin could be. 5 minutes later, Yossi came about a fallen tree with heaps of tamarind peels and pits. And then he knew. He collapsed, broken-spirited, to the ground and almost burst out into tears. It wasn't Kevin's footprints. It was his own.
Oh,
he had
no.
walked in a circle for more than 3 hours.
Oh my god, that would be so annoying.
Like, way to dampen his optimistic spirit.
I have hurt myself in my confusion.
Yeah. Legit.
Shit. Okay.
So he camped there. He tried to stay as optimistic as possible. And as Yossi was walking down a steep hill the next day, the grass was wet. He slipped and tumbled. He landed on his backside right on a big dry branch that lay on the ground. His weight snapped the branch in two, and its sharp, broken end penetrated his backside, cut through his underwear, up the anus, and deep inside.
What? This story just took a really bad turn.
Yeah, like, he's just like, I'm on my merry way. I'm gonna remain optimistic. It's chill.
And then he got speared in the ass.
Yeah.
By a
fucking branch.
Who would have thought that was gonna happen? Oh, yuck.
Yossi was paralyzed with pain.
Absolutely, you would be, yeah.
He screamed in agony and raised himself up. His underwear drenched in blood,
yep.
He pulled the spear out and screamed in pain.
The kind of damage, not only to, like, the entrance of the anus, but where the spear could have pierced like, inside the body.
Mm, yeah.
Like, if it had broken through any necessary, like, organ walls.
Right. Or... I don't think it was that long.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm unsure.
It didn't fuck his, like, intestines or anything?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Just his butthole.
His
poor butthole. He lay there on the ground for half an hour waiting for the bleeding to stop. And once it did... he began walking slowly with clenched teeth in anguish.
And a clenched tush.
Oh, yeah. Oof. Ugh. To make matters worse, in his walking through the bush, he disturbed a hornet's nest. They swarmed and attacked in frenzy. Yossi was stung on his face countless of times, but he was stuck in the bushes and couldn't get away because the bush was so dense. He could feel his lips puffing and his eyes swelling shut. He ran and blundered out in hysteria, falling, stumbling, and eventually making it back to the river. Now Yossi was bitter and angry, the optimism dwindling away.
Why does he keep going away from the river?
I don't know.
What the hell, Yossi?
I think because the rocks are quite hard to walk around and... you could definitely, I mean, he's injuring himself anyway, but I think he thinks maybe if he goes in a bit into the jungle, just like along the side, he can, yeah, I don't know. So as the days went on, Yossi walked and walked and walked and walked. He ate fruit and eggs whenever he could find them. He became less afraid of the wild animals during the day, knowing somehow he would be safe, even from the jaguars in the daylight. He started to hallucinate a lot, which was kind of odd, thinking that he was hearing people every so often.
Well, that could be down to a number of things, yeah. Like blood loss, dehydration, lack of food, lack of sleep.
Just everything, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he hallucinated quite a lot.
A few funky berries, maybe.
Yeah. And he actually started to begin to hallucinate so profusely that he imagined a female companion with him along the way.
Wow.
Which I think is interesting because from reading his book, the conversations that he was having with this female companion made it... it's almost like his internal feelings... was pushed onto this female companion. And so, like, he had to take care of this woman. And so he was, on the outside, he had to be strong and, like, not appear weak for this female companion who was having all of these fears and anxieties and pain.
Mm.
It was very interesting. He was like, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. We'll be safe.
That's like a trippy thing the brain must be doing in order to try help this...
help
this person survive.
Yeah, it was very interesting. So the days of walking also started to take a toll on his feet. After a horrific storm, though, he heard the sound of an engine, an aeroplane. As he heard the sound get louder, he ran like a lunatic to the sound, ignoring his tattered feet. He had to signal the plane, but the plane vanished from the sky. Its drone fading away. I think the plane was just too high to notice him.
Mm-hmm.
He then noticed his feet. The frantic running had torn the flesh from them, and he felt like they were on fire. As he continued walking, his feet could barely obey him, refusing to carry his weight. At times, Yossi would even get down and crawl, dragging himself by the elbows. And in all this time, Yossi kept trying to talk to his imaginary female companion, chatting away and trying to keep her spirits high, trying to make sure she didn't lose hope. He's like almost talking to himself, right? Like,
oy vey.
Yeah. So the next morning, Yossi couldn't stand. Like, his feet were soft and mushy.
Oh, yeah.
As if a skinless mass of raw, bloody flesh had been poured into his shoes.
Yuck.
Ugh. He Yuck. Couldn't take a single step, but he knew that his only chance of survival was to walk. He stumbled forward like a zombie, keeping his weight on a walking stick and often using bushes and branches to pull him forward. One night, Yossi was trying to fall asleep and suddenly felt a hard pinch on his thigh. Startled, he reached down to feel the spot. Something had dug itself into his flesh.
What?
And wouldn't let go. This is just one night when he's sleeping.
Oh.
He pulled hard to get it off and found a gigantic ant. It was strong, more powerful, and larger than a fire ant. He couldn't see it. It was in the dark, but he could just kind of feel it.
Yuck.
And then suddenly, another bite. And then another one. The ants dug in deeply and pinched in several places at once. Yossi frantically tore them off, killing them one by one. He fought them like a madman, one after another. He wanted to run away, but where would he go? It was dark and he was barefoot. The ants kept coming at him from every direction, one after another, and he fought them off furiously. This went on the whole night. He didn't have a moment's rest. They were everywhere. He pulled them off out of his eyelids, out of his ears, hair, arms, and legs. The horror was never ending. In the morning, he shoved the shelter of palm fronds aside and sat there stunned. The earth around him was alive. The ground around him, for a radius of about 3 meters, was teamed with an army, not of ants, but of termites. Millions of them. Yossi's entire body was covered with clusters of them. What had happened was the termites had simply eaten their way through the nylon mosquito net and swarmed him. Horrified, Yossi leapt up to his feet, oblivious of the pain, and fled. He was bleeding everywhere, and when he was far enough away, he could see the horrifying sight of termites eating into all of his belongings. He had to run into the midst of the termites, grab his pack, and throw it away as far as possible, shaking off the remaining termites that clung to the pack. One by one, he had to run back and forth for his belongings.
Oh, that's foul.
Oh, that's like something out of nightmares.
Literal horror movie.
Yeah. What had happened was that had attracted the termites was that on the night this had happened, Yossi couldn't be bothered getting up after getting into his shelter and wrapped up and like ready to sleep. He couldn't be bothered to get up for a wee. His bladder was full and he needed to go. So he just decided to let it out where he was lying.
Oh, gosh.
Which is gross, but
I think... So he just, like, kind of pissed on himself.
Yeah.
I suppose he's like, meh.
He was very meh. Maybe. And he was actually, like, it was actually very enjoyable because it was very warm and nice.
I don't begrudge that, yeah. But also...
Throughout the night, he did this 2 more times.
Yum, yum, yum.
He now realized that the urine attracted insects and there must have been a termite nest nearby and the smell of the urine must have attracted them.
Mm-hmm.
So that sucks for Yossi. So he continued to walk on. His feet were still unbearable to walk on. He would actually start touching stinging nettles with his hands, helping him to forget the agony on his feet. He would find fire ants and shake them off branches, letting them shower down on his head, crawl along the nape of his neck, back, and into his pants. He walked on with the bites of ants burning into his body and derived a strange pleasure from the pain, because anything was better than thinking about his feet.
I'm imagining the consistency of his feet to be similar to that of a mashed banana.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And with that delightfully horrifying picture in my head,
You get it.
I understand the fire ants.
It's insane that he had to get to that. He got to that point where he was like, I need other pain.
Do you know as well that I've just thought, and this guy is still kind of hallucinating and having all these strange things.
Yeah.
You keep a lot of like body information in the soles of your feet, right? There's so many like pressure points and
true, yeah.
And messages get sent to the brain from the feet. Yeah. So if his feet are like that fucked, his brain's probably going into overdrive.
Oh yeah. No doubt. And like, to be honest, feet are gross in the first place. So like, this is speaking more on feet. He finally came to another settlement, this time with less huts, but it looked all too familiar. He realized quickly that he was back at Kuri Playa, the settlement that he was at before.
Oh my god, he went in another circle?
Yeah.
For God's sakes.
But the horrific storm that had happened while he was walking had washed away a few of the huts, so that's why it looked familiar, but it was a bit smaller. He stayed there and rested, taking off his shoes and socks, and horrified to see that there wasn't a shred of skin left on his foot. Just raw flesh. Again, his toes were plastered with blood and pus. Pus. his feet were so sensitive that the slightest breeze passing over it was like 1,000 tiny needles stabbing into his flesh. So he rested there, feet up, delusion setting in, kept talking to his female companion.
Mm-hmm.
He also came in and out of consciousness, the pain, hunger, and exhaustion finally getting the better of him. He braced himself for another long night of pain, seeing the sunlight fade around him. But now he was becoming aware of a distant drone, a plane maybe? But it was nightfall, it couldn't be a plane. He told himself it sounded more like a bee, but the buzzing was so loud. He threw his mosquito net aside, but there wasn't any bee. He looked over to the river and gasped. He dimly made out four figures disembarking from a canoe. He raced to the water's edge, not feeling any pain on his feet, only joy and excitement. He tried to call out hello, but nothing came out. A tall, curly-haired fellow standing next to the canoe looked at Yossi, stunned. He then called out, "Don't move, Yossi. Stay where you are. I'm coming." It was Kevin.
It's Kevin!
He frantically ran to Yossi and embraced him. For the first time, Yossi wept. Kevin was also in tears. They held each other tightly, almost unable to let each other go. It turns out Kevin luckily found some people downstream, and he led a local search party after Kevin being rescued. He managed to make his way to a settlement, convince people to help, and return to the jungle to find him. He just knew that Yossi would make it and that they had to go and find him. Their other companions, Marcus Stamm and fucking Carl...
Fucking Carl!
Were never found.
Ooh.
Yeah. 10 years after the harrowing ordeal, Ginsberg actually returned to the land that almost took his life with the goal of developing sustainable tourism. Perhaps indicative of his gratitude towards the locals and his respect for the region after he had been stranded in there for 3 weeks. After negotiations with Inter American Development Bank, Yossi acquired a US $1.25 million grant to build a solar-powered eco-lodge not far from where he became lost. Known as Chalalan, the lodge still operates today and is considered to be at the forefront of Bolivian ecotourism. And that, my friends, my survival friends, is the survival story of Yossi Ginsberg, the man who was stranded by himself for 3 weeks in the jungle.
The man with the mashed banana feet.
What?
Wowza, Melissa.
It's insane.
Do you know when you spoke of the fire ants
mm-hmm.
and how he put the fire ants on him to distract from the pain? I think I have heard that like I had heard that before about this man that had used fire ants as a distraction from the pain of something else, but I didn't realize
it was him.
It came from this story, and it came from this whole backstory. What a story.
What a journey for Yossi.
And that was in the 80s.
Yeah.
He must be... Is he still alive?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he was 21 at the time. 21 at the time.
Oh, no. He was young.
Oh, my God.
There's so much to unpack there.
So much.
When you had said 3 weeks, I was kind of like, okay, like, that doesn't sound like a lot.
And, like, keep in mind that he had already been in the jungle with the 4 men for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was by himself for 3 weeks.
Yeah, when you'd said 3 weeks, at first I was like, okay, that, you know. In my head I was like, well, maybe it won't be that bad. You know, there's lots of, there's so much flora and fauna in the Amazon jungle. Mm. It's not like he was stranded in the Antarctica or something where there's it's super barren.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's a whole world in the Amazon jungle. But, of course, because he went through first the rapids, which soaked his belongings, which then caused, like, the fear, which then caused this, like, kind of delusional response. And he kept running into the locals, I'm going to call them.
Yeah.
You know, the termites and the ants and the jaguar and whatnot.
And, like, keeping in mind, like, his feet did recover over time, but then the rainforest, as you would probably know, the weather is just unpredictable. So
unpredictable.
So, like, you'll go from really hot to just rain. Rain and rain and rain and rain and rain.
So much rain.
And so I think during that time there was quite a horrific storm that went on for a really long time. So there was quite a bit of flooding as well, which meant that his feet were again fucked up.
That's really incredible that his brain kind of went into survival mode and kept him moving. Like, that's what I've noticed from these other stories is momentum. You need to keep your momentum. Yeah. You can't stop.
Even when so many random things, like, kind of crushed his optimism, i.e. getting speared in the butt.
Oh my god, that's
getting
right.
Stung by friggin', what were they?
The wasps? Hornets?
Yeah, hornets. And then the termite thing. He would have been like, right, well, maybe I'm supposed to die.
He really got the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Like, he got it all. I thought when you said the floor was alive, I thought you were going to say spiders. And I was going to be like, nah.
No. I think both would be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Would you rather? Termites or spiders?
Termites. I don't like the spiders.
I can't do any of them. Not okay.
At least, though, I suppose the spider wouldn't eat your shit like the termites did.
Yeah, but it was also biting into him. They were like... So, like, he was bleeding everywhere. Like pinch. Like...
Oh, so they
would... And
rude.
They, like... Yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't an ant, like he thought it was. It was a
no,
termite.
No, yeah, he just couldn't see. So he thought it was an ant, but he was like, this is, like, a way bigger ant, and it's, like, quite firm, like, in their, like, pinching of his flesh.
Can I Google, like, termite mouth?
Gross, don't.
Termite mouth.
Ew!
It looks like a giant wasp beetle with pinchers.
Now imagine millions of them and you're covered in them.
I think I'm going to take the spiders, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's quickly shift on to what have we learned from this story?
Oh, one thing before what have we learned.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, I can go from there, yeah. What we have learned is don't trust Carl.
Fuck Carl.
Fuck Carl. Turns out Carl is like a fugitive. He told these guys that he was just like, he's going to meet up with his uncle in a couple weeks and he's just like, killing time. Like, no, He was like on the run. The Austrian government was after him. And so, like,
is he a Nazi?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. He was just like a bit of a loser. So when like Kevin's rescue story is another thing in and of itself, and like him going to all the different embassies to try get like a rescue team. When he went to the Austrian embassy to be like, my friend Carl is missing, the Austrian embassy was like, lol, good.
Fuck Carl.
They were like, fuck Carl, that's great.
Shit.
Don't trust Carl.
Don't trust Carl.
Listen to learn.
If your name is Carl,
fuck you.
We don't trust you. Just kidding, we do. I'm sure you're nice. Okay, so don't trust Carl.
Don't trust Carl.
Don't go into the Amazon jungle looking for gold. That's just silly.
Perhaps think of a different activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, maybe go try their eco lodge and help their ecotourism industry.
Also, when locals tell you, maybe that's too dangerous, I would follow that advice.
Listen to them.
Just, like, listen to people who are locals, because they'll know.
Mm.
They'll know.
If you go to a different country where you don't know the area, feel free to talk to the locals.
Yeah. They might give you some great advice.
If, like, you're in Bolivia, learn some Spanish so that you can ask these local people the questions.
Like, should I do this? And if the answer is no, no bueno.
No, no, no.
Then maybe no.
Then maybe don't.
Yeah.
Okay. And something else would be, I suppose, something about the wet shoes. Like, try and, you don't want your body to be wet for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah, 100%. After you've crossed a river, just like even on a hike, and you get water in your shoes and your socks are wet, it's always best to just stop, take your shoes off, like take your socks off, wring out the water, and then put them back on for walking. Because, yeah, having your feet just like complete, like consistently in water for a long amount of time will like fuck them up. Yeah. Lessons learned from Yossi.
Yeah. Exactly. Perfect. And maybe carry like a lighter and some repellent.
Yeah.
Just in case you need a mean flamethrower.
Or some Lynx, you know.
Some Lynx Africa.
Lynx Africa. Very appropriate. This
comes in handy, multi versatile.
Now that we've finished the story, Liv,
yes,
we can come back full circle. What was your favourite episode of the season? It doesn't have to be this one.
No, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, it was definitely this one.
And why is that?
I think just my connection to the area made me really,
you can relate.
In my head, I was picturing the bush that I walked through.
Mm.
And
The rivers, yeah,
and the climate, and the, you know, the local fauna, which you would otherwise rather avoid. Yeah, I could just I could picture it clearer in my head. So yeah,
amazing,
really great job. Thank you so much for sharing.
No worries, and I hope you really enjoyed it, listeners.
I hope you all enjoyed the season.
Our first season. Let us know your thoughts and feedback.
Absolutely. Like, we love hearing from people. We're getting messages on our Instagram page now about people who have listened and who are recommending like different stories that we could do.
100%. If you know of a story that you would, that would blow our minds, like, send them through.
Yeah, send it through. Like, we are so down to chat about these things.
100%.
And yeah, of course, we will be back at it in the new year.
Yay!
Yes, it might be a little different. We might try some new angles. We just don't know yet. The world is our oyster.
Ayo.
Ayo. Well, on that note.
On that note.
Thank you so, so much again. And we will catch you, pals, in 2021.
High five.
Woo!
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The Survivor.